Well, ladies, you are in Developing Your Prayer Life from A to Z, and my name is Cindy McWilliams. The reason that I called this that title is because if we really tried to cover the prayer life from A to Z, the Z's would be you falling asleep. So there's no way we could cover that in an hour. We would have to have maybe a whole weekend to do it. So we're just going to cover some high points, some things that God's laid on my heart. And I'm really counting on you all to be participants in this workshop, because to me that's what a workshop is you all are working together. So I do need to tell you that a lot of what I'm sharing today is from this very old book that I found in my husband's bookcase called Prayer, How to Be Effective in Prayer, by Warren and Ruth Myers. And a lot of you have read their books over the years and know them and love them as I do. And I believe that anything I know about prayer, I've learned from somebody else. So I'm just going to share with you what somebody has learned from me. And then, like I said, I'm going to give you some opportunities to share as well. So before we start talking about prayer, it just seems reasonable that we should pray. Well, Father, we thank you again that we can come before your throne. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak through me today and that you would only allow these women to hear the words that you want them to hear. And Lord, I pray that you would give them words of love and encouragement and instruction just for the needs that they have today. And Lord, we just trust you to do that, and we just pray in your mighty name. Amen. Well, let's start at the beginning. Oh, and let me tell you, if you are looking at your outline and you don't know where on earth I am, just hold it up and point. That'll get my attention. And if I'm not loud enough, give me a little thumbs and I'll talk louder, because I can tell my voice is getting kind of raspy already, so I'll try to increase it. All right, let's start at the beginning. What is prayer? Tell me some answers. What comes to mind? Talking to God, communing with God. Can we add anything to that? No, I think it's pretty basic. There's no other way to say it. Prayer is just talking to God. But have you ever thought of this? We don't say it's prayer when God talks to us. Isn't that interesting? It is only prayer when we talk to God. So if you can talk, you can pray. As a believer, Jesus Christ gives us full access and connection to the Holy Spirit, and we can go to his very throne. One of my favorite verses for a long time has been Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I've been reading through the Amplified Bible this year, so let me tell you what that says. "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, and appropriate help, and well-timed help just when we need it." Isn't that good? Amplified. And what an amazing privilege it is just to go to the Lord at all, much less to go with him about all of the concerns in our lives. You know, when we talk to friends, we use words. So when we talk to God, we're going to use words too. They can be spoken words that we speak out loud. They can be whispered words, or they can be words that are thoughts in our mind. And I will tell you that most of my praying is probably thoughts in my mind. But all avenues are good, and we should use all avenues. Warren Myers says, "Prayer is more than making requests. It is talking with our Father, sharing our thoughts, our feelings, our appreciations, our doubts, our problems, our complaints. It includes confessing sin, committing ourselves to obey God, worshiping, praising and giving thanks for his blessings and provisions. You know, a favorite verse from my childhood is Philippians 4:6 in the Living, which says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. And we did that in our family, and we taught our children to do that. We need to develop a habit of talking to God about everything that's in our life. That's a worry, a concern, a fear, a doubt, a joy, an excitement, an expectation, a goal, a plan. Anything in our life is an opportunity for us to talk to the Lord about it. And we need to develop the relationship that we are talking to Him as our Heavenly Father and as we would a friend, because that's the kind of personal relationship He wants to have with us. When we teach our babies, when we have taught our babies to talk, we allowed them to make mistakes when they were little, just because it was so cute to hear them say hootcase instead of suitcase, or mazagine instead of magazine. But as they got older, we corrected their words and we corrected their grammar because they needed to mature and talk as an adult. And you know, our prayer life is like that too. It needs to mature. And we need to see our prayer life mature as our relationship with the Lord matures and becomes more intimate. And it just takes, it's with like anything, it just takes time and it just takes practice. Well, how do we pray? Before I answer any spiritual question, I really like to turn to the Word of God and see what God says. And evidently, the disciples wanted to know how to pray too, because they asked Jesus this same question in Matthew 6:9-13. And it's printed on your outline there. Many of you have heard the Lord's Prayer quoted throughout your lifetime. And, you know, a lot of people from a lot of different faiths actually quote the Lord's Prayer. And they consider it as, this is what we pray. We just memorize the words and we say it right back. And that's fine. But Jesus meant a lot more than just quoting that back to him. That passage is really a pattern for all of our prayer life. So I thought that we would just start at the beginning where Jesus did. You know, I feel real safe starting where Jesus did. So that's where we're going to start. So just kind of follow along on your outline, or you can look it up in your Bible. Verse 9 says, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, the first three requests in this prayer highlight a major purpose of prayer, to glorify God. Consistent, effective prayer flows from a heart bent on honoring His name, advancing His kingdom, and doing His will. We are calling on our Father because we are now part of His family through Christ. We have a special open communication line because of that. Now, the balance between being too casual or flippant in our family talk time is that we also recognize that our Father is in heaven, and that makes us reverent and in awe of Him. Myers says, remembering that our affectionate Father is also the great and awesome sovereign of the universe, we must balance our familiarity with respect and reverence. We are humble, dependent beings, as well as beloved children. I really like that. And then the last part of that verse, hallowed means honored or kept holy. Then in verse 10, thy kingdom come. Now this concerns the progress of God's kingdom daily, as well as when Jesus returns to reign on earth. It requests his reign in the world and in our lives. It would be hypocritical for us to pray, thy kingdom come, if we are not submissive to the king. Also, as believers, we have moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. So we are recognizing his kingdom. The next phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, ask yourself, how's the will of God done in heaven? constantly, totally, gladly. It means unreserved cooperation with God. It means we say to the Lord, do what you want to do in me and have your way in my circumstances. And then verse 11, our daily bread. What a great reminder to us that God is interested in the mundane and normal aspects of our daily life. That's what bread means. The Lord is personally concerned about the daily needs of his children. Bread can mean food, but it can also mean other basic needs like clothing, shelter, money to pay the bills. And having to pray for our needs on a day-by-day basis keeps us in continual dependence upon him. This pattern has really encouraged me just to pray about everything, no matter how little it is. And I think that's what God's wanting to teach us. Verse 12, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Because we have been totally forgiven by the Lord, he wants us to be totally forgiving of other people, whether they ask for it or whether we think they deserve it. We did not deserve our forgiveness, but the Lord gave it to us, and he restored us in relationship with him. And a very serious consequence is that an unforgiving spirit damages my fellowship, and it hinders my prayer life. But asking forgiveness for wrongdoings is not everything. We are also to confess our failures and the things that we've neglected to do that we knew that we should do. And these things that we fail to do or we forget to do are called sins of omission. We have omitted them, neglected them, or forgotten them. And then verse 13, do not lead us into temptation. The word temptation in the New Testament can mean an enticement for sin or a testing, a difficulty, or a problem. And we know that God permits testings to come for our development, but he never tempts us to sin. Enticements to sin come from Satan, the evil world, and our own evil desires. And God wants to strengthen and remold us. It is Satan who wants to lead us away from God into distrust, discouragement, and disobedience. In Luke 22:32, it was Jesus who prayed for Peter, even before Peter rejected him three times. You know, before the story, you'll reject me three times before the cock crows. Jesus prayed for him. And that is a model for us too. Because the next phrase says, deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is similar to the last request, but this specifically prays for deliverance from Satan himself. By nature, Satan is an evil, supernatural rebel, a liar, and a murderer. He is powerful and crafty. He seeks to lure us into sin, excesses, false doctrine, and occult practices. He seeks to hinder our service for Christ. He accuses us. He condemns us. He tries to blind us to the fact that the judge himself has freed us from sin. And Satan's passionate obsession is to discredit the Lord Jesus. And he often attacks Jesus by attacking us. Now ask yourself this. If you were Satan, how would you scheme against yourself? How would you attack yourself? What are your weak points that you would want to throw up in your face and make you think about and be discouraged about? Where would you aim if you were Satan? When you consider what he could do to tempt you, What are some of the things that come to your mind? Pride, self-pity, disobedience, prayerlessness, a domineering spirit, critical and judging, overdependence on people, an undue need to control, bitterness toward God or others, dishonesty, spiritual coldness, a critical spirit and tongue. You know, as things come to mind, we should be proactive and make a list of those weaknesses that we know that are in our life and pray against those. The next phrase says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, we are ending our times of prayers with an affirmation of God's greatness. He is the kingdom. He is the King of all kings. He now reigns over, this gets me, over a boundless spiritual kingdom, having a position infinitely superior to any earthly ruler. No comments here today. The day will come while he will rule visibly over the entire world. As we praise him for this, we acknowledge that we are his yielded subjects. And what about that phrase, he is the power? All authority in the physical universe and on earth is his. He created the galaxies and he controls them. And one day he will terminate them. He also controls the spiritual universe. And there is nothing in our life or our situations which he cannot control. There is nothing too hard or impossible for him. For this, we should give him thanks. And then that phrase, the last phrase says, his is the glory. As the brilliantly majestic one, the Ancient of Days, the Almighty God, sent down to save and coming back to judge, we can worship him as the God of glory, a glory one day we will share with him. Now, aren't you ready to go tackle the world? That's the Lord's Prayer. Doesn't that just bring it to life? And again, I'm going to say thank you to Warren and Ruth Myers, you know, for their insights into that passage, because it just makes me ready to tackle the Lord. And one other thing that the Myers pointed out about this prayer, there are 7 basic requests in this prayer, and it takes only 20 seconds about to recite that prayer. So what that shows us is that it is scriptural to pray short prayers as well as long prayers. And God has told us to be involved in that, and he has taught us how to pray that. So doesn't that just kind of take a little pressure off right then? Just really, it's okay to pray short prayers. That's okay. That's what the Lord's Prayer was. That's what Jesus taught. Well, let's talk about what do I pray. How many of you have heard of the Acts method of praying? Just raise your hand, okay? Trying to see if there's anybody who doesn't have their hand raised. Not many. Which I didn't think there would be many who hadn't heard that. But what do you think the purpose is in teaching this acrostic to someone? This time for your feedback.
It's a balanced prayer.
Okay, it's a balanced prayer.
A lot of people have no idea what to pray.
Exactly. New Christians may not know how to pray. Mm-hmm. And it helps give them something that they can hold on to. Any other thoughts about what the purpose of that acrostic is?
There's more to communicating with God.
Oh, very good. And I'm repeating all of these for the tape. There's more to prayer than just asking God for things. Exactly. And all of those answers are right. It gives organization to our prayers. It gives a procedure for us to pray. You know, it's a wonderfully easy way to teach children, new Christians, or established Christians who may want to grow in their praying and don't know how. So we're going to go over that a little bit today, and I'm going to let you all help me. So what does the A stand for? Adoration. Okay, what does that mean? praising God.
Complimenting Him, adoring Him.
Complimenting Him, adoring Him.
Praising Him for who He is.
And not for what He does. And I'm glad you brought that up, Sandra, because adoration, the purpose of that prayer, and it's really hard for those of us who want to adore and thank the Lord. They just kind of get together, but we're going to get to that one later. So let's just talk about adoration. That is where we just praise God for who He is. We just revel in His presence. This is the time where you tell the Lord you love Him. You know, you adore Him, as Lonnie mentioned. You talk about His character qualities. God, I praise and thank You for Your love for me, for Your majesty, for Your creation. And a lot of times when I'm praising God and adoring Him, I like to pray Scripture back to God. So does anybody have a verse they'd like to share with us about praising God for His character quality?
I like Philippians 4:4, which says in one translation, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. The Message says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him.
Mm. Good. Okay. Philippians 4:4. Psalm 63:1. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who among the gods is like You, O Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in power, wonderful in works?" And then one I found recently as I've been reading through the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 25:1 in the Amplified, "O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things, even purposes planned of old and fulfilled in faithfulness and truth." Is that so cool to think as you're praising God for your life that back at creation He planned your life? You know, He knew that the dryer was going to break, you know, 6 days before you had 5 guests coming in from Texas to spend the night. Yeah, praising Him that He's in control and that you had enough clean sheets to make it work. Okay, and let's just take just a minute, because as Max pointed out to us, monkey see is monkey do. So our people who are listening on the tape will have to excuse us, because I would like to have one volunteer to just pray an adoration prayer to the Lord, and I'll try to stand close to you so the mic will pick it up. Who would like to do that quickly? Or I'll call on somebody. Lonnie, thank you.
Bless You, O God, our Father, for You are the one who forgives all of our sins. You heal all of our diseases. You redeem our life from destruction. You crown us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Bless Your name, O Lord. Bless Your name.
Hallelujah. Thank You. Okay, what does the C stand for? Confession. What does that mean? Okay. Asking for forgiveness for the sins that we have done. Because the Lord is holy, we need to be cleansed of known sin before we come before Him to worship. Really for our benefit, more for Him, because He sees us totally cleansed in Christ. But it's for our benefit to acknowledge, you know, where we have made a mistake, where we've blown it, where we've gone against His will. And as we daily ask for forgiveness for our sins, you know, it's just, again, a reminder of our daily need for Him. And I like to pray through these 5 things. I ask the Lord to convict me if there is a sin of action that I need to confess, or a sin of words. That seems to be a favorite one of mine. A sin of thoughts. Now, I did say thoughts, plural, because the first thought that comes into our mind is the temptation. But it's as we deal with the thought and as we think of it and as we make it our friend that it becomes a sin often. Do I need to confess a sin of attitude? Or maybe it's a sin of omission. We've talked about that earlier. And after I pray and thank God for forgiving me, then I just like to quote back to him 1 John 1:9. If we are faithful to confess our sins, or if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I love that, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because I'm going, God, this is what I remember that I did. I know I shouldn't have done it. Please forgive me. Thank you that you have. And for whatever else I'm not bringing before you today, thank you for the reminder that you have cleansed me. And Lord, I thank you too that you can just fill me right now with your Spirit and control me and live through me throughout this day. And for me, forgiveness of sin and asking the Holy Spirit to fill me is what I've heard long ago called spiritual breathing. We exhale like we exhale air when we ask for forgiveness. And we inhale when we take a breath. And that's when we ask just again for the filling and controlling of the Holy Spirit. Because as Max mentioned last night, none of us are adequate or qualified to teach about the Christian life, much less live it without the power of the Lord living through us. Now, what does the T stand for?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. And what does that mean?
Thanking him
in all things. I heard somebody say, we thank the Lord for what he has given. And that's a good way to teach our children a long word. We thank him for what he's given, but we also thank him for everything, for how he has answered all of our prayers. Deuteronomy 26:11 says, you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and your household. Years ago, Pastor Peter Lord wrote a plan to help Christians get into the Word and pray, and I loved how he helped organize your quiet time in your prayer life. And those are his 5 points that I got out of his book for confessing of sin, but he also has 5 points of 5 different categories to thank the Lord for. And the first one would be for material blessings or gifts. This might be for a good bargain on a new dress or money to pay the bills. And I was telling my husband the other day, I have been delegated the bill writer in the home. And I said, you know, I don't think a day goes or a bill writing episode goes by that I don't just thank the Lord. God, I thank you that there's money in the account to write this check. I don't take that for granted. And then we thank him for physical blessings. Our health, the ability to walk, maybe it's the healing of an ailment, or maybe it's what God has taught you through an accident or an injury or a disease. We thank him for mental blessings. This could be the ability to think through a difficult issue, or the ability to remember a friend's name that you run into in the grocery store that you haven't seen for 25 years. Or it could be the ability to balance your checkbook, or the ability to understand the current economic situation and all of the different things that you're hearing in the news. What is truth, God? Help me understand that with my mind. That's a mental blessing. And then we thank him for social blessings or the blessings of people. It could be our spouses, our parents, our children. It might be a friend that we just happen to run into that we haven't seen for a long time when we were feeling really lonely. And then we thank him for spiritual blessings. Of course, we thank him for our salvation. But we need to also thank him for the power and filling of the Holy Spirit. We can thank him for an insight he gives us as we're reading our quiet time one morning. We could thank him for something he's shown us through perhaps a message we've gone to or a book we've read. You know, what other spiritual blessings can we thank God for? And one thing I do when I'm going through, you know, thanking the Lord, I try not to thank God for the same things all the time. I try to thank Him for different things. And we were doing this in my home when we were growing up once, and my little brother thanked God for doorknobs. Have you thought to think how important doorknobs are? I bet you haven't thanked the Lord recently for doorknobs, have you? You know, there's lots of things like that that we just take for granted. And they can be it's an opportunity for us to thank the Lord. You've also heard it said that God always answers our prayers, but He just has three answers. Yes, no, and wait. You know, it's easy to thank God when He says yes, and we should. But when He says no or wait, we need to thank Him also, because those are opportunities for us to grow in trusting Him or waiting on His time or yielding to His will above ours. When we thank God for those things, we acknowledge that we still trust Him, even though we don't understand. Okay, now we have to take a little pause before we finish the acrostic, because so far all that we've talked about prayer has been very personal. Our Father, our praise, our sins, our thanksgiving. And all of these prayers can be fairly brief and incorporated into our time alone with the Lord. But the next type of prayer can be much more involved and time-consuming. Da-da-da-da. Don't you think it needs a drum roll or something? What does the S stand for? Supplication, and that's a huge word. Who wants to tell us what that means?
Praying for others.
Don't you have a way of just making it simple? I work with teenagers, and to make it easier for them, you know what we do? We just call it supplies or stuff. What stuff do you need, or what stuff do other people need? And that's what we pray for. And to me, I think that this is an area where we have a tendency just to block our prayer life, because we just go, oh, I don't have time for that. So we're going to get into that in a minute. But just going through these 5 points, that is the foundation for prayer. And as you all have already indicated to me, you all not only know that, but that you do that. So let me just share with you how I am incorporating this into my daily time with the Lord now. And maybe it will give somebody an insight or an encouragement, or maybe something fresh to do. I remember years ago when Major Ian Thomas was in our little apartment speaking, and he is a very wise man, was very discerning of our ministry and what we needed. And we were asking him about his daily quiet time and how did he do his quiet time with the Lord. And he said, oh, I don't bother about a method. I just probably change it up every 2 or 3 weeks or something. Because he says the purpose is to know God. It's not to have, you know, a system. But what I've learned over the years is the system is like the frame of a house. It holds it together. And so that's what the acrostic acts does. It helps us have a frame for our prayer life. So another thing about discussing prayer, it's very hard to discuss prayer, talking to God, without talking about the other side of the relationship, which is God talking to us through His Word, because they just go together. So my prayer life is a one-sided conversation unless I include the Lord through reading the Word daily and allow Him to converse with me. So here is my current plan for whatever it's worth, and maybe it'll help. I like to read through, as soon as the alarm goes off in the morning, before I get out of bed, I have two alarms, the first one and the one that says you have to get up. So between the first one and the second one, which are 15 minutes apart, I'm laying there and I'm going, thank you, Lord, for the good night's sleep, because I remember what it was like when there were 4 little children and I couldn't sleep through the night. And thank you, Lord, for who you are. I begin to praise him. A lot of times I'll just begin to think through the day. I'll just begin to confess, you know, what I'm aware of, where I've sinned. I ask for him to help me in the day. And before I'm even out of bed, you know, my mind is going. I'm talking to the Lord. And that really kind of helps me get going in the morning and get out of bed. Then, when I do begin my quiet time, and often it is after I walk, if it's light enough to walk. If not, now that it's darker, I'm ready for my quiet time. But I'm ready to listen to the Lord because I've spent some time in adoration, and I've confessed, and I've kind of committed the day to him. But just in case I forget to adore the Lord, in my my Bible, I just keep where I'm going to read the for that day, a passage marked, and I just have a list that I keep in my Bible of praise verses. And when my page gets filled up, I'll just put it in a file, and I'll just start another one because I just like to pray different verses back to the Lord. But whenever I open up my quiet time Bible, I see that praise verse, and I know that that's where I want to start. And then I'll begin to read through the passages of the Bible that I've set aside. And if there's a special thought that I want to write down, I have a journal, and I'll just write that thought down. But, you know, not every day do I have something special that I want to write down. Or some days I honestly don't have time to write it down. So what I'll do is by that verse that, you know, I will pick a verse. That's my favorite verse, and I'll just write out by the side of that verse, FV, for favorite verse. That way, if I'm looking back for it, I can find it because it's there in my Bible. And then after I read for the day, and often, you know, as I'm having my quiet time and reading the Word, I will have thoughts of people come into my mind, and I will pray briefly for them. Whenever somebody's name comes into my mind, I will pray for them right then because I know I'm not going to remember it if I don't do it then. And so I'll pray for them. If a distracting thought comes into my mind, but it's something that I need to do that day, I'm writing it down on a piece of paper or my calendar, my to-do list. And if a phone call comes, I let the answering machine get it. And if I just try to keep my focus on my quiet time and not on any distracting thoughts or phone calls that come in. And then after I've read the Word, then I begin to go through my prayer journal. And I have my prayer requests that I just keep in the back of my prayer journal. Now, this is my system. This isn't your system. And if my husband would probably look at this, and he probably already has looked at this, as a matter of fact, and he goes, oh, that is so messy, that is so disorganized. You know what? That is fine, but this works for me. This is mine. And that's why I'm saying a system helps us do what we want to. So this may be too messy for you, but I like it because when I get pictures and little emails from my kids, I have them keep their pictures in here, and I write my prayer request all over them and date them, and all of my little information is right here that I want to pray for my family. And I pray for certain people every day on a regular basis, and they're here in my prayer book. And I like to record that the answers, when God answers prayers and the date, because that becomes my prayer, my faith diary. And it encourages me to see how God has answered my prayer over time. So, that's kind of briefly how I do it on a daily basis. But I just wanted to share that because I felt like that just kind of put it all together, praying and talking to God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about intercessory prayer time and some practical ways. Now, I know you all pray, but you came here for some reason, and you know why you came. You either came because you wanted help on your prayer life, you wanted encouragement in your prayer life, you wanted to know how to share prayer life with somebody, you wanted a new organizational system. So as we talk about these practical things, I need you just to begin to think and pray God, what do you want me to take from this? What do you want me to do? And there's lots of room on those notes for you just to maybe jot down, God, is there something that you want me to add to my prayer life? And that's why I'm here today. A system helps us do what we want to do. And it has to be practical for us. I remember one time, a long time back, I came up with this design on a piece of paper for how I wanted to pray for my family. And it took me months, it seems like, to fill out all the prayers and the verses and the... And by the time I finally got it done, it was just kind of like, well, gosh, I could have spent that time praying for them and been a lot further ahead of, you know, doing this whole system. So don't get bogged down with the system, because the purpose is to pray. That's why I don't make mine, you know, real glamorous, because for me, I just need to pray. But let me just show you some ideas just to spur you on. The best memory is the paper and a pen. Have you heard that? So these came out of the old 2-7 books. I just print them on both sides, and I give them to the teenagers that I work with. But I always like to add the date of when I begin to pray for something and the date that God answers it. So that's just a real simple design, you know, prayer requests on one side, answers on the other. And then another one, if you like a different size sheet of paper. This one says up here at the left, specific request of God. And up the top, you can put the subject or the person. And then here's a place for a verse or a promise you're claiming and the date. All of these you could write out with on your own piece of paper with a pen and a ruler. Or for those of you who have computers and printers, you could do this on your computer and printer at home. Here's one that's divided by the days of the week. You could put a request down for each day of the week. You might want to pray something for one person, seven different things for the week. Or you might want to say, well, I'm going to pray for my all of my cousins, and I'm going to put a different cousin on each day of the week. Or a different person that I've met at school that I want to pray for. You can tell this is an old one because it was made by a typewriter. For those of you who are young here, a typewriter is an old machine that we used to use before computers. But this one I like because it just says, ask believing at the top of it, just for you to kind of remember, why am I doing it? Then it has a place for the date, the request, the answers. And then this would be the date again. It would be the date for the answer of that prayer. But somebody was very creative. I don't know where I got this. You know, all of us have those files that we keep stuff stuck in. Well, I found this, and so I don't know who to give honor to or glory to, whatever. But what they've done is they have made an acrostic with the first letters of the weeks of the week, the first letter for each day of the week. And then they've tried to think of something to make it a category. So for Sunday, they have down salvation of my friends. For Monday, they have ministers, missionaries, evangelists. For Tuesday, they have task at home, work, or school. For Wednesday, they have workers at church. For Thursday, they have Thanksgiving, health, home food, cooking. For Friday is families. And Saturday is spiritual, physical needs in my life. So, you know, somebody was just creative to help them know how to organize their prayer life. And then I really like what they did on the back. Look, they printed off a world map so that they could just begin to, you know, pray for, you know, maybe a different nation. And so anyway, I thought that was a great idea. So there's lots of things you can do with the printed with paper. Then another just couple of ideas. Does anybody do much carpooling or driving? No? Okay. Some, a few. Okay. You can get this little spiral of index cards at any office supply, and I liked it because it has different colors, so the different colors could stand for, you know, different categories, like maybe your family would be all one color or friends another. And this would be easy just to jot prayer requests down as you're driving in the car. And, you know, as you're driving safely and you've come to a stop, you could glance at that prayer request and pray it back to the Lord, because we don't text or read while we're driving. But anyway, you could quickly glance at it at a stop sign and pray for it. Or what about if you just, you walk around your house a lot and you could, you know, carry this around with you. My husband's in the car a lot on certain days of the week, and he has his little cards that he just keeps. So they're just there, and there's just certain people that if he wasn't in the car, they're not going to get prayed for, I guess. But anyway, they're there handy. Or maybe you'd like just a lot of organization, and you would like a little Rolodex file to put your prayer request on. And the neat thing about these is that they come out and they go in easily. You could, these, I've already thought of, you know, some neat ways to use them, because there's room for name, address, whatever on the front, but the back is totally blank. And, you know, you could just put different prayer requests on that. You could just keep that sitting on your desk or wherever you have your quiet time, and it's a nice, neat little way to order prayer, your prayer request. Now, some of you need more of a system. And or here, I forgot to say this. I'm getting a lot of emails now, prayer requests. I bet you all are too. And if there's just a few prayer requests on the email, I'll just pray for them when I read them, and then I delete them. Don't tell them. And but I've prayed for them. But then there's other times where I told you I like pictures. When, oh, here's the, oh, isn't that cute? There's our little apartment in Indy, and here's the whole team. And, you know, I want to pray because there's pictures and there's some more prayer requests. So I'll just print the email off, and it goes in the back of my prayer journal because I know that I'm going to pray for it. And then when I get a new one, you know, the old one goes out and the new one goes in. And then, but, you know, I told you that this system is probably too messy for some of you. And it is way too messy for my husband, because my husband, I told him he couldn't come in here because he couldn't hear this. My husband likes to have one prayer page, and he likes to put as many words on each page as he can. Can you see how little he has written? And he keeps these in his notebook forever. And if they rip, I had to make a copy because, you know, I couldn't let him know I took this out of his prayer notebook. But if the little holes get ripped, he just reinforces it, and he puts tape on them, and he cuts off the frayed edges. But these will never leave his notebook. So a lifetime of praying request is in his notebook, but that is his system, not mine. Now, some of you probably love to get on the computer. And if you are on your computer a lot, guess what? There is a software that you can buy and download for $14.99 that will track and categorize your prayer request and your answers. So there is no excuse to not have a system or be organized, because there's something out there for everyone. Actually, I'm not against this. I think this is great. If you like to be on your computer, it's only $14.99. But anyway, there's a lot out there to help us organize our prayer life. Recently, I was talking to a young woman who's in full-time Christian ministry, and I said, what system do you do to organize your prayer life? And she goes, oh, well, I really don't have a system. And I said, oh. I said, well, how do you pray for other people? What do you think she told me? No, she really doesn't. And she's in full-time ministry. Not that, I mean, she needs it more than we do, but we all need it. But anyway, so we do need to have an organization. So in a room this big, some of you have something that you could share with us that would encourage somebody else in this room. So does anybody want to share a little system? Okay. Stand up and I'll stand by you.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Well, that's a good thing to incorporate into your prayer life, because God's the only one that answers prayer to begin with. He's the only one that can show you the answer to your prayer.
Very good. Okay. Anybody else want to share an idea? Okay.
I have a journal where I have a handprint of each of my family members. When I pray for that family member, my hand is on their hand, and there is a connection there.
Oh, how sweet. So she likes a handprint, something visual, like I like a picture of my family to pray for. Anybody else with an idea they want to share? Okay, good. Yeah.
We have a white-off bulletin board in our kitchen, a wipe-off. And so when there are just things that we want everyone in the family to be praying for, like something in church or friends, ministries, we keep kind of a tally on there. And that way at the dinner table, you're never at a loss for someone or something you could pray about then. So.
That is great. That is a great idea. We don't have any children at home right now, but that reminded me of something that we used to do as we got different prayer cards or prayer letters. We had a little file that we kept on the kitchen table, and we try to pray a few prayer requests for missionaries every time.
We keep a Christmas cards in a basket after Christmas and pull out a few every day and pray for them.
Oh,
and reread their letters and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So at least they get prayed for once a year.
And, you know, that's a system, because if you didn't have a system, yeah, you wouldn't get that done, and we have to do that. Often when we think of when do I get enough time for intercessory prayer, we think, I just don't have enough time for it. I could never add 2 hours to praying to my schedule. Well, I think Satan doesn't want us to pray for other people, and he puts all sorts of defeating, discouraging thoughts in our minds before we ever start praying. And recently, I was spending some extra intercessory prayer time, and I had so many prayer requests I wanted to go through, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh, this is going to take me 30 or 45 minutes. But I thought, well, I'll time myself. 15 minutes later, it only took me 15 minutes. 15 minutes is watching the news and weather in the evening. It's folding a load of laundry. It's opening the mail. And if you do email or Facebook, oh my goodness, there's an hour easy right there, isn't it? Yeah. So it's not that we don't have time to pray. It's that we haven't made it a priority and planned a time to do it. Praying is lethal to Satan's purposes, and he will do all in his power to keep us from praying and to distract us when we are praying. Warren Meyer says, our real problem lies in our priorities more than in time available to us. There is enough time in each day for everything that is in the will of God. The answer is not in having time to pray, but in making time. If we truly believe that genuine satisfaction and lasting success comes from God, we must pray. If we truly believe that mere sincerity or activity or organization does not produce spiritual results, but that enduring work for God is accomplished only through His Spirit, then we must make time for prayer. Prayer is an act of dependence and often of desperation. But supremely, it is an act of faith. It declares that without God, we can do nothing. That we believe that His Word teaches, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Faith is a switch that connects the power of God with the need for Him in prayer. The power lies not in our faith, just as the power to run a motor or a light lies not in the switch, but in the electricity. We do not need great faith, but ordinary faith in a great God. You know, when a family member becomes critically ill, we suddenly find time to pray. When we are coping with disappointment or loss or failure, we find time to pray. But how can we find time to pray in our ordinary schedules? Only through a firm conviction that prayer is indispensable if we are to please God, enjoy His blessings, and advance His kingdom. We need a settled persuasion in our heart that it is not our efforts, not our gifts, not our skills, but prayer that releases God's power in our lives and in the lives of others. Prayer takes time, but it also saves time by multiplying our effectiveness. Its dividends far surpass the investment. So for those of you who want to spend more time in prayer, I want for you to take just a moment, and we're going to pause here and let you just think of what's coming up next week for you. And take a moment, take out your Blackberries, your iPhone, take your calendars out of your purse, and don't start with 2 extra hours, but start with, when's 5 minutes? Where do I have 5 minutes or 15 minutes that I could add to my schedule next week to pray? I want you to think about that for a minute. For a number of years, I realized that Saturday mornings was a good time for me to have an extended quiet time and prayer time. Because when our children were little, they wanted to watch cartoons on Saturday morning. And when they got older, they wanted to sleep in. So Saturdays is my time. That's worked for me. Now, if my husband and I are out of town, sometimes it's harder to get that special time. But usually Saturday mornings is when I have more time with the Lord. And so I've just planned for that time to do extra prayer time. Now my husband, his alarm goes off every morning at 4:45. After 33 years, I don't even hear it anymore. But it does go off every morning at that time. And it does because he has chosen and planned to get up and have time with the Lord and in prayer, because he has to leave the house at 6:30. Now, it wouldn't get done if he didn't plan it. And we were talking about this not too long ago, and we both agreed that no matter what time the alarm goes off, when that first one goes off, our first thought is, no, I'm too tired, it's too early. So no matter when it goes off, we still feel tired. But, you know, as we kind of lay there in bed and we pray and we think about what's on tap for the day, and then we know that second alarm is coming, and then the second alarm comes and we're a little bit more awake and we get up and we get going, then we're ready to get on. But initially, we don't feel like getting up. And initially, we do feel like we need more sleep. But we just know from experience that we need to go ahead and get up and get on, and we do. Oh, yeah, and getting to bed on time at night helps, too. We really realize that when the kids are home and we're up later. R.A. Torrey said, "How little time the average Christian spends in prayer. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but accomplish little. The power of God is lacking in our lives and in our work. We have not because we ask not." Well, I want to talk in closing, running down the ramp here, why do I pray? Because I think the more we make time to pray, we will see that it will become the pathway to intimacy with God. Our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord grows and deepens, and our desire to communicate with Him will be our motivation. It will help us get up in the morning because we want to talk to Him and we want to hear from Him. So let me talk to you about 3 kinds of prayers that have helped me deepen my intimacy with the Lord. The first one is to pray anytime, anywhere. I have tried to just get in the habit of just talking to the Lord when thoughts come to the to my mind. A few years ago, we had some family issues that we were dealing with, and whenever I started thinking about them, I hadn't had this happen until then, I felt my heart racing. And I would just begin feeling, you know, stress as though I was thinking about these things. And so I began to really pray about the Lord as those things came into my mind, and I felt that little pounding in my heart. I just said, God, thank you for the reminder that I'm not trusting you, that I'm apprehensive, I'm nervous. So I just want you to know I'm trusting you for this situation. It really does look hopeless, but I'm trusting you, and I know that whatever happens, you can teach me. And whatever happens, I'm still going to be yours, and I'm still going to spend eternity with you, and I'm grateful for that. And then another thing I've learned is that whenever somebody, a thought of somebody pops into my mind, pray for them immediately. And sometimes the Lord will tell me to call or write them. That's really harder to do than to pray for them. So I do pray for them, and I try to be obedient to the Lord too. But whatever is coming into my mind, I'm trying to talk to the Lord about. If I'm watching the news, reading the paper, and I read about a particular tragedy that just touches my heart, I don't stand there and think about, oh, how terrible this is. I just say, Lord, please be with these people. Please comfort them. Bring Christians into their lives. You know, so much of our time is we're thinking when we could be praying and calling out for God's power to work in that situation. And then arrow prayers, or prayer flares, I like to call them. That's what Peter did. He prayed an arrow prayer when he tried to walk on the water to Jesus, and he started sinking. He went, Lord, help me. And the Lord helped him. And there have been two times in my life now where Chip and I were involved in car accidents where we just knew our car was in the process of turning over. And we said, Lord Jesus, save us. And I can't explain to you, but the car stopped. There was no accident. There was no injury in either situation. And we absolutely positively know it was just an intervention of the Lord. No other explanation. But an arrow prayer can also be urgent, not because of a physical danger, but maybe because of a fearful emotional danger, like you see somebody walking towards you, like our little skit this morning, that you don't want to talk to, or you don't know what to say, and you call out and say, oh, God, help me. Give me the right words. Help me make the right response. Or I do this all day long at work. I have been working in my husband's office for the past almost 2 years. I've been working out of the office for 12 years. But in the office, I have to follow certain protocol on the phone and on the computer. And you would think that after doing that part-time for 2 years, I would always remember the right thing, the right button, the right sound on the telephone to mean the right thing, but I don't. And so I am very often doing these arrow prayers. Oh, God, I forgot again. Please help me. You know, what was I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, F7, right, okay. Or is that an all ring, or is that going to their extension? You know, so I'm praying these things. You young people are laughing at me. You will be there one day. But we're calling out to God. We're acknowledging, I can't do this. I want his help. I want his intervention. And then the next one is persistent praying. And this means that we continue to pray until the answer comes. And you know, Jesus taught this kind of praying too. In Luke 11:5-8, when the hungry guests came next door for food and the neighbor wouldn't get up out of bed, and Jesus explained this parable to them and concluded it in verses 9 and 10 in the Amplified. This is where he said, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking receives, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be open. So keep doing it. That was Jesus' idea. And I like what Meyer said here, too. He says, persistence in prayer does not mean overcoming God's reluctance or annoying God until he gives in. It means continuing with unashamed confidence and to request what we know is his will, even though the answer is delayed. So persistence is for our benefit. And then Jesus in Luke 18:1 even told his disciples that they should pray and not give up. So what a scriptural reason again for us to do it. And then the next one is pray at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 just says, you know, pray without ceasing. And that was a daunting verse for me a long time because I thought, oh, nobody can do that. But, you know, it's a spirit of prayer that you slip in and you slip out of. And it's just like, you know, your friend comes over and they're helping you prepare a meal and you're chatting away and then you turn and you work on the salad a minute and they're over here getting something out of the dishwasher. The conversation, there's a lull in it while you're working. And then all of a sudden, you know, she throws out something and you answer back. You're having a communication. You know, there's little lulls in the communication. But that's what prayer without ceasing is. It's being in a spirit of being receptive to the Lord. And I am really working on this because what I've realized is that I love to plan and think things through in my mind. And a lot of times I just go over and over the details, but I don't really talk to God about it. And so I'm really trying to bring him into that decision. Or sometimes I will, you know, say, but if I do this, then this could happen. And then if that happens, well, then this could happen. And then I go off into this fantasy daydream. And if I were here, I would say this to that person. And then they would. Does that ever happen to you all? Oh, I'm not the only one. Yes, yes. Well, let me step on a few more toes then. That is just a waste of time, isn't it? But we all are prone to that. And so there's only one answer, and it's to capture those thoughts and not let our thoughts run away and be random or haphazard. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the King James says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I try to do that. I'm talking to the Lord about planning a dinner event, and I'm saying, okay, now, God, should we have, you know, asparagus that I steam, or should I, you know, would I have more time if I did the zucchini? And, you know, I can make that decision by myself, couldn't I? But why should I? So I'm just saying, okay, Lord, what would be best for this situation? And God, help me plan this that would be honoring to you. I'm just trying to bring him into everything I do. And then when my thoughts start running away, like, oh, well, last time I had that dinner party and she fell on the steps because I didn't warn her that they were in the way. And then her back hurt for 3 days later. And, oh, Lord, that's right. She forgave me. And next time I'll warn people not to stand near the steps. And I'm thank you, God, for reminding that. So, you know, I'm just grabbing these random thoughts and bringing them back to the Lord. And Philippians 4:6, I've said that again, says don't worry about everything, but pray about it, everything instead. So a lot of times our planning can become worrying and not uplifting to the Lord. But some of you may be, like my husband, more of a thinker or an analyzer, and you like to explore issues with your mind. And maybe your thinking involves the Lord, but maybe it doesn't. But are you allowing him to analyze the issue with you? Or does your introspection lead you to depression like it did King David? I love this verse in Psalms 43:5. King David says to himself, why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of my sad countenance and my God. So let me challenge you in your daily and continual communication with Him by talking to Him about everything that comes into your mind, and in taking everything that comes into your mind to Him. Now, there's many other types of prayer that we didn't have the time to discuss today. We didn't talk about praying for the lost. We didn't talk about praying for the nations of the world to come to Christ. We didn't even talk about specific ways to pray for ourselves or specific ways to pray for other people. We're limited by time. But the Holy Spirit is not limited in what He can teach you and what He wants you to learn. So let me just say this in conclusion. Prayer is hard work. This fact should help us realize that it's not going to get easier. It will still be work, but it will be necessary and vital to our relationship with the Lord. Why is it so hard to pray? Well, one reason is because it's warfare. Satan does not want us to pray, and he does not want us to grow in our relationship with the Lord, and he will do whatever he can to keep us from praying. In Colossians 4:12-13, I love this. Paul is talking about somebody else who had a hard time in prayer. Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature, fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. Well, prayer may be hard, but it can also be enjoyable. As in any aspect of our walk with Christ, we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit to empower and to direct us when we pray. We will run out of our own strength, but we can never run out of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will prompt and energize us as we make time and give ourselves to prayer. So let's just thank God. Well, Father, we thank you for your promises. And Lord, we thank you that you have already told us that the Christian life has only been lived by one person, that was your Son, Jesus Christ. And so only by his power will we be able to live that life as well. So Lord, we just ask for that. I thank you for each woman here, for their heart for you, and their love for prayer. And I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage each one only as you can. And we just pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.